We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. If I sound like I'm shot out of a cannon in this segment, it's because I haven't done a lot of radio the last couple of weeks, especially because I've been eating cereal, having stuff stuck in my teeth, and it's just been Luke and I and sort of my internal group after I did 78 charities for a couple Super Bowl our big week for Crab Cake Row. I'm back out on the beat. We are going to be at Fadley's doing live radio on Fridays when the Orioles are home. We're going to call them Fadley's Fridays. Brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have 10 times the cash. Our friends at Window Nation, our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare, also Liberty Pure Water Solutions that keeps me in a delicious, safe drinking water out on the well, out yonder way. So we're appreciative of all of our sponsors. The last time I got together with this guest, and he's one of our favorite guests, and if you are a WNST AM 1570 listener, the beautiful music that you hear coming in comes from this very multi-talented musician, writer, and author. It says Washington Post every time I see Dave Shine, and I think, dude lives in Canton. I don't know, maybe Fells Point, maybe Butcher's Hill, Patterson Park. Butcher's Hill's probably like the right neighborhood, but you'd have to be a real young old timer to know that. Dave Shinen has been my friend for a long, long time and covered the Orioles back. Oh man, even before Maskey, or were you after Maskey?
No,
you were
after
Maskey.
Yeah, after Maskey.
Well, okay, late 90s, but he sort of came into this when the Peter Angelos thing had already sort of metastasized, and we've waited for a better day, Dave Shinen, a better downtown, a better Camden Yards, a better baseball team, and all that. And damn if it hasn't arrived since the last time you and I got together. My phone blew up the night that the Rubenstein thing happened. I'm a 4 or 5 weeks out now trying to process it. Where are you, brother?
No, I mean, I'm on team positivity. I mean, I think it was the absolute best thing that could have happened for the franchise. I mean, I short of winning a World Series, I suppose. But like, if you ask me, what is the perfect ownership scenario for this team going forward? You'd say number one, let the Angeloses get out from under it. Number two, you'd want local ownership. Number three, you would want deep pocketed ownership. And a commitment to staying in Baltimore, of course. So I think you have all of those things with the Rubenstein group. And what you would also want Cal Ripken with a major role in the direction of the organization. You've got that too. The jury's still out for sure. I mean, this is too new to say that, this is going to solve all the problems around this team, because there are many of them. But it's the right mix. And it's if you're an Orioles fan, I don't know how you can be anything other than just over the moon about the direction.
Well, listen, I could ask you to give your background or history. People don't know who you are. Dave covered baseball forever. Dave's a musician, a very accomplished musician, but also you're an Olympics guy now. So people don't necessarily even equate you with day to day that you're maybe in the way that one in your previous life, it was Don Fear and Bud Selig and all of that at the Washington Post, the highest level, trying to get a team. I mean, you were covering the Orioles because they didn't even have a team.
That is right. That is
20 years into this, bro, and they can't get a center field camera to not shake on the spring training debut on the television network they've had for 20 years. Like, I re-released two books that I've written in the last month. I re-released The Peter Principles about Angelos last month, and then my father's birthday, we're on the eve of that, March 5th, every year I celebrate it. My dad died the first year I was on radio, so I've been on radio 32 years. My dad died 32 years ago, and I celebrate his birthday every year, and I wrote a book for Free the Birds, because everything you said, we need a new owner. Well, I said that in 2006. I let a walk out 18 years ago, got thrown out, but you can do the math. I'm doing a documentary on all that. But in the meantime, like, the whole notion of this prescription for fixing them has always been the wrong people own them, right? And we've waited for this next thing. And you said problems. They have many. You said that a minute ago. You said the Orioles as a franchise has lots of problems. Dude, when you got on this board back in the day and moved to Baltimore, 3.5 million people. They had Cal Ripken. They had money. They had Camden Yards. They have this cathedral of baseball. You live in the city. We're in a different place. But you say problems in many. Start at the beginning for me, because like unpacking this is what Ripken and Rubenstein, these guys, when they get in the halls of justice and all get together and try to fix this, guys like you and me, I've been writing about this, talking about this every day of our lives for 30 years and saying, what if, what if the Emerald City and the Wizard? So what do you think? What's the prescription, man?
Well, I mean, I look at it this way. I came on the Orioles beat in 99, and it was the end. It was the end of the glory era, the most recent glory era. That was 97 was the last, was that the playoff appearance. 98 was when things started to fall apart. I came in 99. It was the end, close to the end of the Ripken era. But that franchise was still pulling in 3 million plus fans for a couple of losing seasons. And that was a turning point. That could have been a self-sustaining thing, because once you become the thing for young people to do in your city in the summertime, that has a long leash. That goes on for years, even when you turn the corner and start sucking, which they did. Like, you look at the St. Louis Cardinals. That when you think about great baseball towns of this size, I mean, it's St. Louis, Baltimore, things like that. Well, I mean, St. Louis, it's been sustained, because they've committed to excellence over the years. And even last year, like a downturn, they still packed their stadium every night. So when the Orioles lost that, it was hard to lose that, because you had a great thing going. You had momentum. You were the thing to do in the city in the summertime for families, young people, all ages.
Three generations,
Absolutely.
66 into the
Well,
70s when I came along, right? I came along because Aparicio 66 into the 70s, I'm here into the 80s. I'm like Ripkin-y and why not? And here we go. Camden Yards. Oh my God, Brady, he's so cute. And Cal's a legend. And here, and look at the stadium they play in. And
And they lost that, right? And I mean, and that was hard to lose, because you had everything in place. All the elements were in place. This gorgeous stadium, a great team. You had an owner that at the time was still spending in the top, 10% of teams in the league. You lose that, and it's probably 10 times harder to get it back. And the reason is because, you no longer have that momentum. People are down on the team. People are down on the owners. Nobody wants to go to the stadium. They're losing 100 games every year. And you look at even last year, the attendance numbers were better. They're not back up to the late 90s levels. And again, that takes sustained excellence. So that's where this franchise is at. They're trying to build back to something that they had 25 years ago. And even with this core, even with all the great things you see, 100 wins season, they're still not there yet. They still have something to prove to this city and this region.
so how do they do that? How, like, I'm going
You
to
got
go down to
spending.
spring training in a couple weeks, right? I mean, Luke and I are going to go down, and the NFL owners' meetings are down in Orlando. We're going to come back. It's boom. It's going to be opening day, right? And it's going to be fireworks on opening day. It's an exciting time. I don't know if they'll have the keys to the new kingdom or not. Like, whenever that day is, I have a bottle of wine that I got over at Drug City a month ago. It's called The Prisoner, and I know you're a good wine drinker, and I figure we'll release the prisoner, being we were all been the prisoner for 30 years, that whenever this happens, I'm wondering what the checklist is and also what the transparency. But like, if they let me in to everybody in my world, to everybody that's ever met me or known me, that would be like, oh, they let Nestor in, they are different, but that's for me. That's my personal thing, and free the birds and like all that. How will you know it's different? How will anybody know and feel the oxygen that changes? And I would ask you this as a guy that also covered the Washington football team in the Burgundy and Gold over the course of time, and whatever that regime was, how will we know Russia is ever fixed or Cuba is ever fixed? Or, like, I don't know, but I want it to feel different whenever this happens, whether Cal's out in front of it or how they PR it or whatever orchestra they, because they're going to be good on the team, on the field, right? The team's good. Now, what do you do around it to deodorize these 3 decades of everybody having a rough ride at one point or another with the Angelos family?
I mean, the simple answer is they've got to spend, you know, they've got to build up the rest of the roster around this core. The more complicated answer, I mean, look, I mean that and that goes back to this skepticism and this sense of this fatalistic outlook that Orioles fans have developed now over the past couple of decades. You know, we have thick skins now. We come to expect the worst. We come to expect the superstars to walk away at the end of their when they reach free agency because the Orioles aren't going to keep them. You know, so that's a well-earned skepticism. So you've got to beat that. You've got to conquer that. To me, I mean, the critical test is going to be when all of these young superstars reach free agency. Are you going to keep them? I don't even need to see them going out and spending on major free. I don't need to see them signing Shohei Ohtani, you know? I don't even need to see them signing Blake Snell necessarily. But you need to keep at least five of the six, you know, four of the five, the Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, all of these. You've got to keep some of them. And I understand you can't keep them all. That's the way of as the way baseball is when you're a size market of Baltimore, but you need to keep most of those guys. And that will be, I think, the critical test of this ownership. And do it now. I mean, do it now while, you know, you're still ahead of the game. Don't wait till Adley Rutschman hits free agency to sign a long-term extension with him. Do it now. And that, I think, more than anything else would show fans that it's okay to embrace this team 100% to, 'cause we're in 100%. There's skepticism out there still, and that's a long way to overcoming that.
Dave Shinen is a longtime baseball insider expert who now does tons of stuff on the Olympics as well as the English Premier League. But he resides here in old Balmer and is trying to get the ship turned around. Last time we were spotted with Dave, we were drinking beer and eating crab cakes, I believe, at the Coco's with my co-host with a K, Mike Rosigliano. And we kind of had this flippant conversation about, because the Orioles were like in first place and cruising. It was August, I think, as we got together then. And the Ravens were going to training camp. And you and I had a long conversation about art and cartoons and Rosenthal's stories getting Rsig's art getting Rosenthal pushed around in locker rooms. And so we had fun with all of that. But I said to you, who's going to have the parade first? And you said, and this is such a journalism thing, dude, neither. You know, neither. I like it's hard to win one, let
It's so
alone
hard.
we're right. I mean, and you said that and it resonated with me. I heard your voice when they were losing that AFC Championship game at home because it's close, right? I heard your voice when I was sitting at the kids' table and drinking out of the other water fountain in Arlington when I didn't have the clubhouse badge, when I got my final mistreatment from the Angelos family flying to Arlington with Luke. Thank God for John Blake. But I would say this, the notion that we're closer and you're thinking parade and whatever, boy, new ownership begets like a whole bunch of thoughts that you've already given me in the first 6 minutes of spend money, spend money, spend money. But I'm sort of looking for the bigger, better idea in all of this because I think when smart people get involved and the city's involved and you got government that wants to make the city better and everything that they're doing, you know, I look at this as a dawning of a new day that it's really taken me weeks. Literally, you're one of the first conversations I've even had about this because I've made a whole long list of all Santa's list of all the things we're going to fix and how it's going to lift the city and all of these things that really were the promise of building the stadium 30 years ago, and now the promise of giving two billionaires another billion to come up with the next big idea that for the Ravens sounds like a gold-plated bar. And I caught that press conference that I'm locked out of where the smarmy guy gets up and says, well, we all know the beer's colder inside the perimeter and the hot dogs taste a little better inside the perimeter. And I'm thinking, well, what's the Orioles' big idea in all of this? They, you know, for the Ravens, there's only, they play 9-10 games a year at home. You know, the Orioles is a heartbeat thing. Baseball, to your point, St. Louis, Boston, in places where it matters, San Diego, where they built around it, it's a heartbeat thing that was lost here. You know what I mean? And to me, the possibilities of a parade winning, I feel the way you do. Things have to really go right, and the Corbin Burnses and the you know, everything has to go right for a parade. But to get the franchise right, there's so many things that they could do that would not involve a parade, because that's so hard to do. If that's your measurement, you're 41 years in and still waiting, you know?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I live about a 45-minute walk from Camden Yards, as and you're a lot closer than that. Or are you still in the Inner
No,
Harbor?
I used to be. I'm in
Okay.
the, yep.
So, I mean, I walk through the town to get to Camden Yards. I mean, you cross over President Street, and you're going through the Inner Harbor, and you see how sad Harbor Place is, the Inner Harbor itself. You see how decimated downtown is. There's a lot that needs to be done down there, and I know that some of it's already in the works. The new Harbor Place development is in the works. The Orioles need to be part of that. You mentioned just a minute ago the Cardinals, the Padres, the Red Sox. I've been to every
Cincinnati is another one
Cincinnati.
where urban, where they built it
Right.
downtown,
And I
right?
mean, I've been to all of these states. I've been to every stadium in the majors. I've been to like 30 stadiums that don't exist anymore in the majors. And what you named there with all of those teams are places where baseball is part of the fabric, is part of the lifeblood of the urban center. I mean, I think about walking from my hotel to Busch Stadium at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because the clubhouse opens at three, and the streets are already filled. I mean, this is a weekday, a weeknight, and in the
And you pass
afternoon,
30 places on the way out where the post game show's on,
yeah,
like
and
Washington.
everybody's
What Washington
congregated,
has built
and
in your
they've
town, it came from
exactly,
nothing, right? Like they built that
exactly,
stadium. We're like, what the hell is this? And
right,
now it's like the one of the
right,
10 most desirable neighborhoods in the world to live in, right?
right. But obviously a huge part of that is putting a competitive product on the field, which we haven't had here in Baltimore until just recently. And then the other component of that is putting in place a scene that people want to be part of. I mean, gosh, man, and the COVID pandemic, I know, decimated a large part of the business. Certainly there's people who are business owners downtown who tell me they still haven't recovered from the Freddie Gray situation. There's a lot going against us, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that's working against this, but I think that this is the moment, with new ownership, Harbor Place underway. This is the moment to create something out of nothing, and make this back to what it was, the thing to do in the summertime.
Yeah, I don't get too deep with this, and maybe there's a song in this for you or some inspiration for something in the way you look at this. But I mean, look at us, dude. We're like 50-something hippies and rocking out and like, you know, we're holding on to Rolling Stones and Bill Dylan and Willie Nelson getting together up at Hershey Park, you know, amongst our things. But like, we've watched this thing kind of deteriorate. And I lived at the harbor for 20 years, and you speak of like the Harbor Place is this sort of, no offense, deathscape kind of weird place. And I left, and I didn't leave because of that. And I lost hundreds of thousands of dollars in real estate downtown just because I lived, I made the offense of investing there and believing in there and fighting with the baseball owner on all of this. And I'm still trying to come to the dawning of the new day to say, all right, these dudes pump $2 billion in, and you can't even get the freaking game on your app. And when you do, the camera's shaking. You know, like, and I'm thinking to myself, this is a core part of your business. You're going to go into business with Leonsis on the television side of this, try to figure the national side out whenever Lerner gets his sea legs under him, and Ted moves the teams over out of the district into out. Maybe they'll win a basketball game this month. I got to kick them in the balls every chance I get because, like, And I don't want to say we're on top now. The football team came this close to going to a Super Bowl, has the most electric player, well, maybe the second most electric player in the sport, in Lamar at this point, and they shall rise again. But this is such a time for the baseball team.
This is
And
it.
the minute, you know, season ends 48 hours later, we're like at the rock bottom of losing an AFC championship game at home, first game since 71, and new ownership comes in. It's like the sunlight over my shoulder, Dave. And I have never thought about this. Like, and I'm still 5 weeks in scratching my head saying, what are they gonna do? What are they going to do to make it feel and smell? What are they going to do with this $600 million? Well, these guys are smart and they've got like Bloomberg involved. Like they're not in this to flip this. This isn't Eli Jacobs. This isn't squatter stuff. This isn't even Rubenstein like saying, I'm going to come home and save the city in some sort of Detroit, you know, way that we saw 15 years ago. But there's a path in what Detroit has done in Cleveland and other municipalities, as well as Nashville and other places where they've grown from nothing. But this is such an asset that's been pissed away from the time you and I were young and sexy in our 20s and covering it, and it was the toast of the town, to now, like, all right, I know the guy that owns it, and here we go. Hey, bring Dave and Nestor in. They live here. They're smart guys. Ask them for their best ideas. I don't even know what the best ideas are because they'll always come back to crime, the city, Freddie Gray, I'm afraid of the city. How much it costs for a hot dog, how much it cost to enter, all of that is there. But like, how are they going to make this thing awesome again, other than the things we talk about having a center fielder and like on the field, bringing people back and making them pay for it and the Orange Club and getting the games on TV. And like, I always talk about cracking crabs with Chuck Thompson back when I was a kid, Natty Bowes and all that. But the heartbeat of the city, they don't have that, Dave. You know, they don't. They
No.
need to have it.
But you know, I mean, all of the problems that Baltimore has, I mean, the COVID pandemic, crime, I mean, look, they're not unique to us. I mean, the pandemic happened other places, right? Crime happens in St. Louis, and yet they still pack their stadium every night, and they still have their downtown is a sea of red on a Tuesday night in June. It can be done. I think what you have here is a blank slate in a lot of ways. You've got new ownership, you've got a team that's on the rise in a big way. You've got Cal Ripken back in the fold. You've got MLB support behind you. This can be anything they want it to be. I mean, this has all the potential in the world. This can be I mean this can be the 1996 97 era again, where the Orioles were one of the biggest spenders in the game and a serious threat to win the World Series every year.
How
That
can they
can
be that if they don't generate that revenue, Dave? I
well
mean, I.
that's the thing. You have to generate the revenue, no question. And it ha but it's not going to happen overnight, right? You're not going to convince the 75%, let's say, of this fan base that's jaded, that's cynical, that's fatalistic. You're not going to convince them overnight that all of a sudden, because we have new owners, now everything has changed. You have to build that, right? You have to regain the trust. And as I said, from the first part of this segment, that losing it was hard, gaining it back is 10 times harder. Because you have to overcome now all the skepticism and fatalism of your fan base. And all you can do is show good faith and then let it build over time. It's not going to happen in 2024.
Yeah, I don't like. I released the Peter Principles thing, and I released the book on like my love of baseball because it's what I have in sort of my arsenal. Because the last 15, 20 years, there hasn't been like a lot in the arsenal to like move me toward 162 nights a year where I stop everything in my world to focus on 24 young men in the city who sort of come and go, and guys like Aubrey Huff who called the city a shithole, and you know, and disappear off into the abyss with the money one way or another. I think there's something about this young group of players that doesn't know from any of Peter Principles or, you know, bad vibes, or that they've come into this honestly. And I mean, on the field, and this is for another day because our time's a little short, they have too many players. Like in a spring training sense, Kowser, Kerstad, Stowers, you know, what are we, who's moving where? What are they going to do? How are they going to do on the pitching? Oh my God, you know, the Bradish's arms, Bradish's arms, no good. Like it's like real baseball conversation again. And we haven't had that since 99.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you, I mean, you're talking about this team as a contender from day one. You know, that wasn't even the case last year on opening day. I don't know that anybody saw this. You know, nobody saw 100 wins coming. And it now you feel like this is real. I mean, this is what you buy in for as a fan. And it's what you dream of as a player. And so all the pieces are there finally. And now really what this new ownership group has to do, I think, is prove itself to a fan base that is hurt, you know, a fan base that is jaded and needs some reassurance and needs you to put your money where your mouth is. And this is the time. You've got everything heading in your favor right now.
Shinen's column says spend money and
Spend money.
we'll spend our money.
Exactly. I mean, I think that's right. I mean,
They
there's
just
a
spent a
pact here.
billion, ain't buying the team. Jeez, you know,
Exactly.
I'm thinking you better
Exactly.
have a plan, you
Yeah.
know.
Yeah. I mean, there's a pact here, right? I mean, whether you're a player, you know, if you do your part, ownership needs to do their part. And when you're a player and you get yourself into contention in July, you need your team to open up the wallet, get you the players you need for the stretch run. You get to that offseason, you've put together a core, you need your ownership to step up, and because you've done your part as a player, as a roster, as a coaching staff, as a front office. Now, you know, the last step is spending the money. And that is where I think the fans are waiting to see. I think that's what's going to prove to the fans that this is worth my loyalty, my money, and my, you know, my fandom, my love.
They got a guy every fifth day that's going to take the ball now who's an ace, right? So,
Yeah.
right at, that
Yeah.
looks like a real commitment to us, right?
And that's also a huge opportunity to step up and extend him, right? So that he's not a rental for 1 year. Man, you know, the possibilities are endless here. I mean, there's so much you could do, and you can get started right now. I mean, you know, it's time. Make a big splash before opening day, you know,
Well,
do
the biggest
something big.
splash will be when that bottle of wine gets open for me, because then it'll be official. You know, you don't expect anything to get in the way, right? Like you're on board with this is really. I'm still at a pinch me moment. I
Yeah,
really
because, yeah.
am, Dave. I.
I mean, if there's a skeleton in the closet or something, I haven't heard a word one about it. So I think this is a slam dunk. And you know, it's a great new day for this franchise.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going to a game with you, having one of those cold beers beyond the perimeter and a hot dog, and or maybe we'll get some on the outside. We'll walk around the city. Dave, it's always a
Yeah.
pleasure to visit with you. Let's get a crab cake next time. How's the music career? You got a new thing going on? Anything like happening there or no?
I'm in semi-retirement while I get my kids through college because it costs too much money to make music. So, semi-retirement. Yeah.
Was it Kerry Ziegler had his expensive hobby is what he called it,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dave can be found out at the Washington Post. He is working on some EPL stuff as well as some Olympic stuff. Man, I didn't even get to any Olympic stuff with you, or I didn't do any Mary Lou Ray. I did nothing with you other than baseball, which is
It's
really
okay.
a good, it's what we should be doing. It's what we're
That's
born to
right.
do, living in
That's right.
Baltimore, right?
That's
Dave
right.
Shine from the Washington Post, my good friend. We're going to get back out on the road with Luke on Fridays. And Dave's like a perfect kind of guest for this on the Fadley's Fridays. We'll be live from 2 until 5 on days when the Orioles are home, broadcasting from the new Lexington Market. I'll have some Ravens, or excuse me, some lottery scratch-off tickets to give away. I'll have Ravens when we're in the playoff race in September, no doubt about that. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.